It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go! We've been waiting for this day. We've been waiting for this day. Jimmy Butler is back in Miami.
Andrew Wiggins revenge game.
There we come.
Am I right? Here Who scores comes. More tonight? You know Wiggins what? Or Butler?
Probably Wiggins. Probably Wiggins. Jimmy's going to all around the world the same song. Now, Jimmy's going to try to triple-double. Yeah.
Man.
He's going to try to triple-double. Wiggins been on a heater. He's 30-plus two games in a row.
Right. Which means he's due for a classic 4 of 11.
Do you know? And in fact, I think, let me check Underdog.
Yep.
Because Wiggins, I went lower because you're right. Like
It's got to be like 18 and a half.
Well,
for Wiggins.
Wiggins is at 28 and a half PRA. Points, rebounds, assists, 28 and a half.
Well, he doesn't do a lot of A.
He doesn't do a lot of A. He doesn't. Yeah, they beg him to do R.
He can.
He can, but
he'd rather not.
But he don't.
Yeah.
And then when I see a number like that, I'm like, oh, Underdog knows. Because the average fan's like, wait a minute, he scored 42, and the night before that, 30? He's going to score more than 28 and a half points. I don't even need to worry about the R's and the A's. Like, why is that number so low? Because you've watched Andrew play. And the Warriors are going to lock him up, and he's going to score about 14 points tonight.
That's It'll be a classic 14-4-4.
That phrase that you just uttered is one of the funniest ones I've ever heard. Andrew Wiggins' revenge game. Is there any athlete in history that less fits the idea of a revenge game than Andrew Wiggins? Honestly, I don't even like, we're not going to go too deep into Wiggins today, but does anybody have any opinions at all about Andrew Wiggins ever? Have you ever seen someone spend 6 years somewhere, win a championship, and then leave, and literally no one knows what to say? They're just like, bye? thanks.
Could there be a less vengeful athlete
exactly
in sports?
I mean,
no disrespect.
No disrespect. But
I don't think that he's right now stewing in Miami thinking, oh, I'm a pay these guys back. I'm a show all of them, my teammates who I won a title with. I'm going to stick it to Steve Kerr, who stood by me for 5 years.
No, like his entire vibe tonight is the Warriors will walk in the arena and he'll be like, hey, that's it.
When Steve said there's going to be hugs aplenty and like all of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, Wiggy.
I know.
I mean, Andrew Wiggins' revenge game in and of itself is hysterical. But let's get to buckets, okay? Let's get to Jimmy Butler. We've been waiting for this one. And it's kind of a silly conversation, the whole like, well, Jimmy says it's just any other game. Of course, it's not any other game. But who does that? Who sits in front of the media and goes, yeah, I want those dogs. I'm about to show Tyler Hero a thing or two. Tyler Hero has a dog? Are you kidding me? I'm going to lock him up. He's not even going to score 2 points. Watch this, mofos. Who would do? No one does a press conference like that. I promise you. That's what Jimmy's thinking. I promise you it's why Steph Curry flew halfway across the country in order to be there today. I can't promise you that Steph Curry's going to play, but I'm pretty sure Steph Curry's going to play. Like, this is a monster thing. And I just want to come at it from this angle. You know, I've sat and I've listened because we don't know Jimmy Butler as well as the next city. A lot of cities have a lot to say about Jimmy Butler. And of all the sports villains out there, those who implode everywhere they go, those who cause problems, those who never have teammates who get along with them, those who have a short sustainability life, all of these things in sports, I've listened to what everyone has to say about Jimmy Butler. And you know what I've come up with? Nothing. Nothing. I'm not here to say that I was there or that he's perfect. I can't find this awful thing that he's done. And so my stress level as far as Jimmy now and Jimmy into the future is at a zero. It's at a complete zero.
My stress level is probably the same. And I just laid it out during the crossover where the three things that I think that Jimmy would be most concerned about, and just based on the Anthony Slater report, which was so good in The Athletic, and don't miss Slates tomorrow with the two Joes on the morning roast.
Slate.
Tomorrow he'll do his normal Friday appearance. And, you know, Jimmy, from what I'm gleaning, he wants to win more than anything else. And this team has won, and he feels like they have a good chance to win. Jimmy wants to be able to be himself and do what he needs to do to get ready to compete. And the Warriors have clearly said, yeah, Jimmy, do your thing. And he left Brooklyn and went right to Miami because he hadn't seen his blanking kids since the trade. And so he wanted to get his kids and bring them, collect them and bring them out and try to handle family business. And the Warriors are like, great. And the other thing that Jimmy clearly wants, and he hasn't spoken to it, many athletes don't, he wanted that money. He wanted that extension.
Oh.
And Mike Dunleavy, his former teammate, went to ownership here and said, yeah, we need to give him his money. He's paid. He has freedom. He has a competitive environment. I don't know what else Jimmy would or will want, so I'm with you, Mark.
Right, and then let's take that a step further. Everyone goes, oh, well, he wanted to get paid. And I think for a while there was like this negative vibe behind that. Like it was selfish. Oh, Jimmy wanted a big old contract. Anybody want to make the argument that he doesn't deserve it? Now that you've watched him play, would anybody like to stand up and be like, Warriors totally overpaid? If I'm Jimmy Butler, yes, that's exactly what you do. It's exactly what you do. I love it when people look at a sports relationship and they go, dude, you have got to honor the contract you signed. But you never say that to an owner. Ever. Ever. Did anyone yell at the Niners for not honoring Deebo Samuel's contract? Does anyone have anything to say about Leonard Floyd getting cut? Nobody has anything to say about that. They only get mad when the player who has a year to go and has tons of leverage, they only get mad when the player, Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, comes out and says, no, you need to put a backbone in the contract that I have because I'm an athlete and I'm going to put my body on the line and I'm elite. And so you need to pay for that because that's what I'm worth and that's what others out there are willing to pay me. So you need to do that. And then when Pat Riley's like, no, and then we get mad at Jimmy for bucking. Oh, because he won't honor the cut. He blew up the locker room, said Ira Winderman. No, he didn't.
They went 8-9 in the games until he got traded. The games that he missed after he blew up the locker room, they played better ball than they have since he left. They went 8-9 without Jimmy in the first 17. Then he got traded, and since then, they have lost 10 of 11.
Yeah.
So you could say that he blew it up to where it was no longer recognizable.
Well, I think he was referring to earlier in the year. He sort of stated that he ruined the season with the way he handled the beginning. And I guess my question is just how come we never talk to the owners about this? There's a disagreement, and it's only on the player to, quote, honor the contract. But we never ask the owner to do the same. That's all. And so, like, will y'all be mad at Fred Warner in 6 weeks if he doesn't show up to OTAs? Because he's like, hey, Niners, you better put a backbone in that contract. And if the Niners don't do it, are we going to scream that Fred Warner is not honoring the contract? And by the way, I guess we will. That's what I heard people do to Trent Williams last year. Like, I don't know, man. It's just a head scratcher to me that that's always the player's fault.
Little different in football than basketball.
A little bit.
Football's not guaranteed. And in basketball, you know, Jimmy Butler has a unique opportunity to create his own future more than Trent Williams does. Trent's a little bit different because he's a veteran and he's a guy who absolutely is a needed commodity where you're not just going to cut Trent Williams in that spot, but, you know, a player like Brandon Ayuk is a good example where he holds out for every last dollar. He plays not well. He gets hurt. And now they're talking about trading him before April 1st because they want to maybe get out from underneath his money.
Sounds like probably not, by the way. But anyway, Russini had a report on it today. She said it doesn't sound like reality, but could be wrong.
You just never know.
Don't know.
Depends on how much Jed York wants to get out from underneath the $110 million that they still owe him. But the idea about a Jimmy Butler revenge game, I've looked into the numbers. And I'll share some of those results with you on the other side because this would now be his fourth game in a revenge spot because he was in Chicago and then he went to Minnesota. He was in Minnesota. He went to Philly. He was in Philly. He went to Miami. He was in Miami. He went to Golden State and now he's going back to Miami. So this will be the fourth time he has a revenge game.
Well, you get to a certain point in the league where half your games are revenge games. You're talking about the first time on the road.
Yeah. And we're not talking about Ish Smith, who's played for 13 teams.
Have you looked at how he's performed in those games in the past?
Yeah, exactly.
You have?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have him right here, right in front of me.
You don't have to give the numbers yet, but good or bad?
One good and two bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. See, I'm expecting really good things from him tonight. I'm expecting a very, very focused and heady Jimmy Butler tonight. I'm not expecting 30 points.
Okay.
I'm expecting Jimmy and all of his great decisions and unlocking of teammates to be on full display all night long. That's kind of what I'm expecting in this one.
Okay. I mean, it's fair to expect that, and the history of Jimmy Butler would indicate that it hasn't always gone that way.
I took his underdog over for PRA is 34.5. I went higher.
Okay.
34.5. Points, rebounds, assists. Add them all together. You like?
It depends on if Steph plays. If Steph doesn't play, I like it less because the P without Steph is he's going to be 20 plus if Steph doesn't play.
And that's
if Steph does play,
that's good.
Right.
You're saying you like it less if he does or doesn't
I
play.
I like it less if Steph plays.
Oh.
Because the points go way down to me.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
assists, though, yeah.
Should go up. And the rebounds are kind of fleeting. Pods gets 7 or 8 rebounds a game just because he's in there and he wants it. Kuminga jumps out of the gym and he gets 4 rebounds a game.
Grandy, what's your best guess on when we're going to hear about Steph? I know that the NBA puts another report out here in 3 minutes, but it's probably not going to be that.
I mean, this feels like one where he tests it out pregame and they see how he feels.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. So anyway, we say that because I would bet that breaking news is probably going to happen here within the hour or less. So keep it locked right here. We'll take your phone calls for the next hour or so, and then we jump in to Warriors Live. The Sweet 16 is at Chase Center this Thursday. By the way, so are we. We're going to be over at Splash. Come watch some Sweet 16 games, maybe even go to the Sweet 16 games. Get a bite or a drink with us at Splash. Former St. Mary's player and USF coach Todd Golden and the Florida Gators take on Maryland in the first game, and then it's John Calipari and the Razorbacks against Texas Tech in game two. Go to chasecenter.com/events for tickets. We're also sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport, and your phone calls next, 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Andrew Wiggins. These mother jumpers don't know what's coming tonight in Miami. I'm coming for you, Stephen. I'm coming for you, Draymond.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins.
It's like he's got a cold or something.
I like the way that he enunciates each and every word. Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. I once was one of you. Now, I'm against you.
This might make you like Andrew Wiggins, Dibs.
Okay.
He also didn't record a Dibs, your pick stinks.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it. I bet he wouldn't do it.
He also didn't record a I like your picks, but
yeah.
Just abstained entirely.
Hi, Dibs. This is Andrew Wiggins. I know you picked Arkansas and not my beloved Kansas. Therefore, I'm coming for you also.
This is
Andrew Wiggins.
I can't believe he recorded what he did record. I can't believe that. Like, I thought he would just walk by Nahegan and be like, I don't speak. And that's it. And he would just leave.
You want to hear one other that he did record?
Yeah.
Bay Area, it's Andrew Wiggins. It's game day, Dub Nation. Mark Grandy is on the pre and post tonight.
Hey!
Get locked in.
Did he do one for Evan? Did he do one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ah, but Grandy deleted it. We can't seem to find
that.
I didn't
splice that one together. I mean,
oh my god,
that is really good.
That's so funny. It's the most like, who would you hire to do the voiceover if this was the Andrew Wiggins revenge game, not the Jimmy Butler game? Like the Jimmy Butler game,
yeah.
Oh, and it's TNT, whatever, right? You know, Butler and Miami.
Sure.
And they're going to get...
Right? I was thinking maybe Chuck D from Public Enemy.
Maybe, but no, if it was Wiggins. If it was Wiggins, Wiggins returns to play. When Miami comes here, when Wiggins is back in the Bay, who are you hiring to do the voiceover? I'm thinking it's like whoever does all the Disney stuff or the Cheerios commercials.
Hi, this is Prime Minister Trudeau. Exactly. Canada. Canada's own Andrew Wiggins is coming for you, Golden State. He's going to do it in a friendly manner, eh? He'll shake your hand. He'll be very friendly, and he's going to try to defeat you in a gentlemanly manner.
Exactly right.
Hi, this is Prime Minister Trudeau. I mean,
I love it. He's going to do it in a friendly manner is the line that got me.
Right.
Andrew Wiggins is coming back to the Bay, and he comes in peace. I mean,
Andrew Wiggins wants to defeat you, but he really doesn't want to. He's hoping for a tie.
But it's okay if he doesn't.
Hi, this is Andrew Wiggins. I'm hoping we have a draw tonight. A friendly draw. Nil-nil would be nice. That way I don't have to score. This is Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so great. It's the Wiggins revenge game.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like Sorry, Giants. There's nothing like it. I mean, you want to talk about ramping up the intensity. It's Andrew Wiggins against his old team.
If I can just give you the numbers of Butler.
Please.
Against his own team. The 2017-2018 year, he went to Chicago. He put up 38. And 7 boards, 5 dimes in a loss at Chicago, 114-113, but okay. He had 38. The next year, he was on Philadelphia because he got traded mid-year by Minnesota. So Philadelphia at Minnesota late in the year, he had just 12 points on 4 of 17.
Wow.
In his return to Minnesota. They won the game, but he did have 13 rebounds. He had 12 points in a victory for Philadelphia. And then you had the game where it was Miami, and he went to, I guess, Philadelphia would have been the revenge game that year. And he didn't play very well. I'm looking for it here. Yes, here it is. 14 points on 5 of 11. 7 rebounds. They did win the game 108-104. So. Okay. 2-1 in victories, 1 really good game, 2 kind of okay games.
Again, I'm not an expert on some of the other departures. This does feel a little different. This feels like a bigger deal. You know, he wasn't in Philly for that long.
Right.
And the departures at some of the other places, some are a little bit more contentious than others. This one feels like there was a long, drawn-out, hey, bleep you. No bleep you.
Yeah.
Right? This is Butler v. Riley, and it became a very, very big thing. And also, the team he joins, very high-profile team, lots of winning, not only before he arrived, but also since he's arrived. And so this one feels maybe more ratcheted up than those other ones you just referenced.
Fair. Definitely fair. I do think that the Minnesota departure was as acrimonious as it gets. The Philly one, he was only there for a little bit. And one thing I learned from the Slater piece is Jimmy Butler was quoted as saying, I couldn't talk to these guys. And I looked at that roster on Philly that year. Joel Embiid in his second year. Markel Fultz was on that team.
Oh, man.
And just a whole bunch of maybe enigmatic players. And so Jimmy comes into Philadelphia trying to, you know, get things rolling. And
yeah.
Embiid, I think, will go down as one of the most curious players for me.
It's just a weird experience, isn't
right?
it? It's just a weird experience.
He's so supremely talented, but he's so oft injured, and he doesn't really have that dog in him. And he seems to come up small in big moments, but he is so unbelievably good.
But it also feels like there are moments at press conferences where, like, when the rubber really meets the road, he'll sell that teammate out.
Yep.
And sometimes I'm not exactly sure what Joel means when he speaks, but it feels like that has happened sometimes, whether it's Harden, whether it's Butler. I guess this is the other piece to it. Those other places that you mentioned, Butler didn't achieve nearly as much there as he did in Miami.
That's fair.
And so he was probably more, I think in Chicago he was definitely beloved because that's where he started, but very beloved in Miami, like he had a real footprint on a team in the NBA and a spot that was his. And so when you're that guy for an extended period of time, the love affair that the fan base has with you is intense. And then when it falls apart, then everyone has to pick sides and it gets very, very difficult. And so I don't know that has been mimicked. Certainly not in Philadelphia, even in Minnesota.
Not in Minnesota.
It all just fell apart too quickly, and they didn't achieve anything.
And in Chicago, it was a young team. He was a young player.
Right, right.
And it was kind of Derrick Rose's team early on, and he did go to the playoffs four of his first 5 years, and then bounced around to Philly and Minnesota, and then Miami. I'm just looking, 64 playoff games in four seasons. 64.
Damn.
That means...
That's a lot.
I mean, the first year you go to the finals, and then one series and out, and then you played 17 games and then 22 games.
Yeah, you're looking at north of, quick math, how many? You said 64
in four
seasons? So that's over 15 a year.
That's exactly 16 a year.
Yeah.
And that tells me that you're winning... Like, you won three series, you didn't win a series, you won two series, you won three series. Yeah. That's a lot of series wins.
You're getting to the playoffs and maneuvering.
And going deep as an eight seed and you know, out of the play-in. And so, yeah, definitely the level of being beloved. That's why tonight I'm fascinated to see the three-tiered reaction, the fans, the his opposing players, and we won't see, like, the front office, or maybe we'll see Coach Spo post-game. Do they dap it up?
I don't know.
His former coach and Jimmy. I'm interested to see all of that. I doubt Pat Riley will come out of wherever he watches the game and, like, let's bring it in. That I doubt.
I doubt.
I wonder the fans, but, though. If you're a fan, can you really boo Jimmy Butler?
You can.
You're allowed to.
Yeah.
I mean,
they've got alcohol there.
Right.
I mean, that's where it comes, right? Go get liquored up and boo. Like, that's what some, I promise.
But remember Oklahoma City and Kevin Durant?
Well, that was
different.
And
all the cupcake shirts and all the rest of it?
That was different because I don't think that had anything to do with money, right? Oklahoma City was absolutely willing to pay Kevin Durant. And I also think that that was one of those where Thunder fans never really bought the idea that Kevin was going to leave, and then it felt like he just did it in the middle of the night. You know what I mean? Like, there's different kinds of transactions. Like, take the Luka trade from Dallas a few weeks ago. Saturday night, like, everybody just did what they did with their day, or they're out, or they're at bars, or they're at restaurants, or whatever, and people's phones start going crazy, and they're like, this is fake. And then next thing you know, it's like, wait, it's not fake. This just happened with no buildup. And on a Saturday night, late. I mean, if you're on the East Coast, it was late. So when these things happen in the cover of darkness, I think they hit a little bit harder. So Oklahoma City fans were really, really emotionally broken by what took place. I don't know that a Miami fan was emotionally broken here. You might have been taken on a ride for a few months that bothered you, and you may have taken sides, but good Lord, it's not like nobody saw the Jimmy Butler trade coming. Everybody saw it coming.
Of course.
For a year.
Right. And I don't think Luka's been back to Dallas yet, has he, in a return game?
They played the Mavs. The Lakers
played
the Mavs.
It was in L.A.
It was in L.A., though.
And again,
yeah.
If you're a Dallas fan, I don't know how you can feel enraged toward Luka because Luka got dealt.
Yeah, you're mad at the GM.
And the whole thing about KD that I had forgotten is that Russell Westbrook was the one who called him a cupcake, which is why all the OKC fans embraced the idea of KD
being
the cupcake. And
yeah.
So that was fueled by another player. I don't think that Miami players have come out and, you know, railed against Jimmy Butler for doing what he did.
No, they've at least publicly had his back. I'm sure they've all got their feelings.
No doubt.
You know, and some of them actually probably have their feelings in the other direction. I mean, they are players. They're players. So why would they not? Like, every player I've ever known, when another player is, like, trying to get his, you know how they react to that. They're like, that's his business, and we support him getting his, because if he gets his, then we get ours. That's how most players look at it.
Right.
I guarantee you some of those Heat players are probably not keen on how Pat Riley handled Jimmy Butler. That'd be my guess. I don't know. I haven't talked to any of them.
Yeah.
But that'd be my guess.
Well, and the Heat culture is a thing, I'm told. And so Jimmy Butler comes to Warrior culture, which, as we heard from Steve Kerr yesterday, the culture is Steph Curry.
Yep.
And Steph Curry, as Jimmy said in the piece by Anthony Slater in The Athletic, Steph Curry is about the nicest human being he's ever met. He's a ferocious competitor. But the Warrior culture is, Do you do what you need to do, be here on time, and fight like heck to win. And if that's the culture, and you're Jimmy Butler at 35, you're probably loving that.
Let's go out to the phones. 888-957-957. It's Willard and Dibs. This is the day we've been waiting for. Jimmy Buckets is back in Miami. The game is right here in less than 2 hours, of course. Warriors Live is starting in 45 minutes. We're going to take you all the way up to the Andrew Wiggins revenge game that is about to unfold tonight on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to Leo on 880. Hi, Leo. Thank you for the call.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. You know, I don't know if you remember when Jimmy Butler was in the bubble in his hotel room, the people below him called hotel security because a guy was bouncing a basketball for 4 hours over their head. And security, hotel security came and found this guy drenched in sweat, but he's an intense guy. So I think a lot of the, I mean, I think we all kind of agree, like one of the things that he wins on is his intensity. So things like not being on a team bus and not being on an airplane, he just may need that to fulfill his potential. Like that gives him his edge. There was a great Madden quote, and where Madden said, look, I don't care if a guy comes down to lunch in a jock strap and nothing else. I don't want him to jump off sides in the game. Yeah. It's what he does in the game. And I think Pat Riley in the Heat just probably couldn't understand that. But I think the Warriors are going to be the perfect place to understand it. He's driven, like his, and I hate to use that word, his superpower or whatever, but it's probably his intensity. And if he has people around him he has to do what he has to do.
Leo, I think it's a great topic that you're bringing up here. Thank you very much for the call. This is where I think the Butler thing gets really interesting. And there is a generational quality to this argument. Pat Riley is 80 years old. Mm. So I'm not here to say that Pat Riley's doing anything wrong. I do think Pat Riley does things the way they used to be done. And they're largely not done that way anymore. It doesn't make them wrong. This is the most relatable thing on earth. We all experience this. If you have kids, or if your parents are still with us, or whatever the case may be, generations have a hard time understanding the next generation and how they do things. And I think the Warriors and the Heat are really great examples of this, because the Warriors have stepped into their own Bay Area culture. They've rebranded themselves through this Steph Curry generation. They have their own arena, their new place, and they have their way of doing things. And it is a much more modern way of doing things, which is, here's what matters to us, and if you execute those things, then outside of that, you can do whatever the hell you want. Meantime, Pat Riley is over here going, you're going to do every single damn thing I say. And only because he's the great Pat Riley does that sometimes work. I'd argue that the way Pat Riley tries to do it, if you try to do that in 2025 with young people, it largely doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't make it wrong. It's just evolution. That's and so that's why I do think that that Butler is vibing right now, but I also believe that this may last.
Well, you can do it, I think, with 23 and 24 year olds more than you can with a 35 year old. And you know, Jimmy Butler's been around, he's been doing it, and now he's got a family and he's got all these things and he's got a resume and gravitas. And so when you have that same sort of old school my way or the highway mentality, yeah, an older player, a more veteran guy, probably will push back, especially when you're Jimmy Butler, a guy who is headstrong and unique and all the descriptions we've had of Jimmy Butler. And you know, Pat Riley's book, The Winner Within, is older than almost every person on the Warriors roster. His book, let alone his run with the Lakers, which is, I mean, it's older than even Steph and Draymond and those guys. That happened 40 years ago. So Pat Riley's done it one way. And I will tip the cap for Greg Popovich. I don't know him personally, but it feels like he has adapted a little bit with the times and with younger players and kind of the new way, because he's also from the old school.
Well, you know who's popping into my mind is Belichick. Like, I can't wait to see how this plays out.
At North Carolina,
you're going to college. And he's out here, like, doing yoga poses on the beach with his 20-something-year-old girlfriend or whatever. And these are all things. He's become a media star. These are all things that most sports fans 5 years ago would have been like, what?
Right.
If I had laid this out for you 5 years ago, Belichick's going to be a daily star on media. He's going to coach in college. He's going to have a young girlfriend, and they're going to be on the beach doing poses and selfies together. You'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? But whether that's we never really knew Bill, or it's the evolution of Bill, or maybe some of both, which is probably right. True.
It's both.
Yeah, that is. I do think that's a compliment. That's a compliment when you can do that, because if you can't do that, I think it's pretty hard to run organizations to do them one way, and to do that for however long Pat Riley's been doing it, like 40 years now. It's pretty tough. And like you brought up, like, how will Eric Spoelstra interact with Jimmy Butler? There are times where I look at this whole thing and I'm like, Spo is just a pawn here. He's a character in all this. He's the coach. I think he wants his best player out there. And he probably doesn't hate him, but he's very much always had to do things that Pat Riley wants him to do. And I just, that's just a vibe from me. I got the sense that that's what Spo was doing throughout this entire process. I don't think he hated Jimmy, but he had to execute the organizational directive, if you will.
Sure, and I wonder how much of it he also believes. He's been doing it for so long that there's got to be a lot of what he does that is tied into how Pat Riley's been running things. Because if you're that unhappy as Eric Spoelstra, you could get another job in the NBA or sure. In college pretty easily. And I think about what you're saying, new school, old school, in terms of the NIL now in college, where because athletes can go out and make their own money, and athletes can enter the portal and leave you, if you are doing things that maybe are a little bit too old school and a little bit too strict, if you're a good athlete, you can just up and leave now. And that's, I mean, it's great for the athletes, and it also defangs the coaches a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you were saying that you kind of buy in, and I've heard this from a few places, that idea, that NIL thing, has probably killed the mid-major tournament run. I don't know if I buy that yet. I know that kind of became a thing this year.
Right.
We'll see if that plays out over time. But I don't know, man. Like,
yeah, I think it just makes it harder. And you look at Florida Atlantic 2 years ago, which no one had ever heard of, and they made it to the Final Four, and four of their five starters left, and those four starters who left are all in the Sweet 16 on other schools. So you can do like a one-off run, and this year there was Drake that I liked, and McNeese, and forget Liberty, I should never enter that school again. They got absolutely pounded by Oregon, but even your plucky little Cinderella efforts, you can win one game, you might win two, and if you win three, well, good for you. But if you do win three and those players get high profile, they're probably going to leave for that big money elsewhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, even the upsets that happened. I mean, are you telling me that our Cinderella is named Arkansas and coached by John Calipari?
Right.
That doesn't sound like a that doesn't sound like Cinderella to me.
No, and it's a team that's been deep in the tourney the last few years.
Yeah, and you know, won a national championship within the last, 25 years ago?
Maybe a little bit more than that. Shoot. I mean, we're going back to Corliss Williamson, right?
Yeah. Nolan Richardson?
Yeah. 40 Minutes of Hell. Boy.
What year was that?
I'm going to say 95.
Was that in the 90s?
Yeah. I have it right in front of me because I was thinking about something we could do Thursday that would be fun because we're going to be at Chase.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be fun if we could get a basketball alum from the four schools who are going to be participating in Chase and either do like dual head-to-head interviews or do like something
fun. Do you mean like fans or players?
Players. Like, for example, Maryland is taking on Arkansas.
Okay.
So
we're going to get Joe Smith to scream at somebody.
David Lee.
Okay.
Joe Smith. Oh, it's Florida that they're taking on.
Lucas, will you book that?
I was going to send a text.
Get a little Joe Kim Noah.
Yeah, well, I thought Joe Smith because he's a former Warrior, and David Lee, former Warrior.
Okay.
It's Maryland, Florida, so I thought that would be fun, and I just actually was looking for Arkansas alum. I think Moses Moody might be busy.
I hope so.
Although they don't play.
They don't play that night.
We could get, Moses would be fun to have
on. Travel day. Got to leave Miami and go to New Orleans.
Yeah, good point. NCAA champion 1994 for Corliss Williamson. Oh, 31 years ago.
That made me feel old.
But I thought that'd be fun if we could do like
if you could figure it out, if you could find these people. Hey, make it a little pet project for
Arkansas
you.
Arkansas against Texas Tech. Yeah. Like Corliss Williamson and...
Go ahead, name Texas Tech.
I have to Google it,
yeah,
Mark.
Exactly. Okay? God. What about this? Speaking of having some fun, what about this? And by the way, the college basketball tournament is in full swing. Stay up to date on all the tournament action with our bracket challenge on 957thegame.com. Be sure to tune into KPIX Game Day Center Court after the games, 9 p.m., for highlights and to see some of us, the 957 The Game hosts, sharing thoughts on the tournament. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Okay, what about this? I was thinking about this. What's about to happen to Jimmy Butler tonight? I don't really know what Miami fans' reaction will be. Someone just hit us up and said, didn't you see that the kids out there in Miami were chasing Jimmy to his car after practice the other day? Right, but that's kids. That's kids. Kids aren't showing up to boo Jimmy Butler. They're showing up, they want to get a picture and see if they can get that thing on IG as quick as possible. But I imagine that some Miami fans are going to show up and boo Jimmy Butler tonight. And you brought this up to me. The Bay Area, we're not big on booing. We're not big on booing. But let's go down Fantasyland Road for a second, and we will take your phone calls at 888-957-9570. What former Bay Area athlete, you can go to any generation you want, former Bay Area athlete, that if he showed up back here tonight, you'd buy a ticket to go boo him. Or her. Seems unlikely, but...
Yeah.
Who do you want to boo that used to play here? Is there anyone that comes to mind? I will tell you that when this idea came to my mind, it was a very, very clear answer.
Okay.
And it is in the moment.
Oh.
And it is going to happen in calendar year 2025.
Not by you.
I'm going to be there.
You're not going to boo this person.
I'm going to be there.
You're not a booer.
Boo!
You're not a booer.
I'm coming after him.
I can't wait to see it.
I've had it up to here with him.
Oh.
But we'll take some calls on this. If they were coming back to the Bay tonight,
who you boo?
Would you boo him? Who is it? 888-957-9570. We'll take your calls on that right now. It's Willard and Dibs.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.